Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
800-919-3776 is the number. Yes, you can. At Bart and Han on Twitter. what are you laughing at? What'd you say?
He said that like Cheddar Bob, man. You got more soul than that, man. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Or shizzle. Well, he said, can I kick it? And I just didn't want it. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Oh, sure you can, sir.
Surely. If you would like to kick it, you may. What do you think of this? So Dylan on Twitter says of Jets possibilities, Jared Goff.
No, man. He's in a great system for him. I just can't trust a guy that two teams will be giving up on.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
How about this one? Mark says, please, Jets, take Cousins off our hands. Jets never play at night anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Never going to see the Jets on primetime. That's when it matters. But what do you think of this, though? Chris said that QB1 is nails on a chalkboard, that I should say starting quarterback instead. QB1? Like, it's just, there's nothing wrong with QB1, right?
That's a little swag. It's just like saying LB instead of saying linebacker.
We're trying to
get to it quicker than later.
That's all I'm saying. It's like, exactly. I'm not trying to just keep starting quarterback.
Quarterback.
Well, we'll see what Herm Edwards thinks. He's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. For those just joining us, though, the DeMar Hamlin story obviously is one that is a big story in the NFL. Monday Night Football last night, he went into cardiac arrest on the field, taken to a nearby hospital. And he is in critical condition, but is considered stable. The Bills had a statement that they released early in the morning, about 2 a.m. The family, through someone named Jordan Rooney, who's the marketing manager for Hamlin, put out a statement right before our show aired, and it was really a thank you, acknowledging the first responders, the healthcare professionals, everybody that did what they needed to do, and just an appreciation for everybody for the outpouring of concern, of prayers, of thoughts, and all those other things as well. So there's really nothing new when it comes to his situation. Now, again, no news can be good news.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, but him being sedated now, it's just a time thing.
Monitoring him closely.
Right.
Remember, this isn't 24 hours yet.
Yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
Very, no. Very fresh as it happened late in the night.
Right.
We're just going to have to wait. And I know that in this microwave society, we want answers now. We want to know. But it's important to just support his family and give them time, give the doctors opportunity to do what they do, to monitor him, to see what they can, what he needs. And I'm sure x-rays, CAT scans, MRIs, all those things.
Well, they'll have to do every test possible.
Yeah.
And, again, you want to confirm what happened that had to do with, the impact and something like those, all the things they have to figure out. What happened, why it happened.
Right.
And then, of course, where he goes from here. Right. What damage was done, where he goes from here. And that's also the most important stuff. With that in mind, NFL is sort of at a standstill right now, Bart.
Yeah, because they can't be insensitive, right? Mm-hmm. And then they have to read the room. And I thought they were right on point. They weren't tone deaf. They were right on point with making the right decision. Now, it's never going to happen in a time in which people think it should happen. But they made the right decision, and ultimately that's all that matters. I don't care if it was reports out there for a 5-minute warm-up.
Yeah, Troy Vincent shot that down. He said that never happened.
I'm sure they were in communication with both of the coaches, right? Because you can make a decision as a league, and the players can say, hell no, I ain't doing that. And then what do you do?
Right.
So it has to be a collective decision that's made, and you don't know how players feel. Like, players have been accustomed to seeing guys get carted off. They didn't stop the game with Ryan Shazier. Got injured, they continued to play.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't stop the game when Mike Utley got paralyzed, they continued to play.
Mm-hmm.
But this was different.
Yeah.
This was different. This was CPR. This was the visual of CPR in your eyes as a teammate is way more traumatic than just seeing a guy get carted off and putting his thumb up and saying, I'm okay.
Right.
He's unresponsive.
That's usually reassurance. Yeah. That's
right.
What you're
reassurance,
looking for.
Like, okay, let's go win it for him.
Yeah.
Right. This was, is he okay? And until they can get that okay, I don't know how they move forward, which puts the NFL in a tough spot.
Of course.
Because this isn't an early season game. This was 2 weeks before the conclusion of the season. You know, the winner of these two games, you know, this is the first time in football that two teams with such great records were playing this late in the season. Right. Right. These are 2-1 seeds. These are both division leaders in their division.
Right.
And the outcome of this game determines so much more and affects so many other players and other teams that the NFL, even though they can't be insensitive to what's happening to Hamlin, but they have to go ahead and do about the business and plan ahead accordingly. They have to have one plan in case this happens, another plan because it's a game that needs to be played. Do they move the Super Bowl or do you just give them you give them a simulated bye?
You have the week.
Yeah, but how quickly
can you – between, do you just eliminate that week?
How quickly can you make both of these teams play because they need rest as well? You can't put them on a short week because then that's unfair too.
How would you, as a player – and again, you're obviously somebody that's you're an emotional guy, but you're also somebody that understands. You have a certain way that you think.
I would.
So where would you be right now if you were a teammate?
If I'm a teammate, you know, I can't exhale until I know what's happened to my friend.
Right.
What happened to my teammate? What's happened to my brother? And I think that's what the NFL is waiting for, and that's what teams are waiting for. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to get Herm on because I don't know how you handle this as a coach.
Right.
How do you handle this as a coach? What do you do? Today is a day when everybody comes in and they get injuries and you got players that have to get treatment. But, man, you got to have a meeting. You go over corrections. It is no correction because there was no game.
All right. Well, we have Herm Edwards on right now, of course. And I know, Herm, you've been
– I know you're exhausted.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah. Appreciate you giving us some time.
Yeah, and thank you for that. And we'll get into some other topics with you as well, but – because you spent, I mean, a half century of your life playing football and coaching football. I mean, you've seen everything.
First of all, he's not over 40, so stop it. Quit playing. Have you seen this man? Dude ain't been on the earth for more than 50 years.
All right, well, anyways, I just wanted to get just your feeling. I asked Bart the same thing. I mean, as somebody that's just been involved in the league and as long as you have, as you're watching it last night, was there emotion? Was there, what was going on in your mind as you're watching this?
You feel helpless. Injuries occur. You know that. As a player, you know that. As a coach, that's the way it is. But generally when that occurs, you walk out there as a head coach, whether it's in practice, in a game, sit there with the trainers, look at the player, try to visit with the player if you can as a head coach, knowing that he's going to be okay. And you leave and you go back to the sideline, you might visit with a couple players, it's going to be all right. What occurred last night, and the first responders were outstanding. They were outstanding to get there and to do what they needed to do. I've never seen that in 55 years of being involved in football. And you sit there and you try to grasp the situation and you go, I got no answers for this. Because look, when you're a coach, you gather information and you process it. And, you know, the coaches and players know this. It's a five-second game. It's 5 seconds. And then you got an answer of what just happened on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. And you process that. And then you come to the sideline and you try to fix things. You get the defense or the offense, whoever comes off the field. And you say, okay, we got to do this, we got to do that. You fix it, and then you move on. Well, what we watched last night, we had no answers. Right? And the players want answers. As a coach, you want an answer. You want to know what to tell your players. And all you could tell your players, we got to pray for this young man. We got to pray for him and his family. And I thought the audience, the people in the stands, if you were a fan watching it from afar on television, if you were an opponent, whether you're the Cincinnati Bengals or the Buffalo Bills, we all sat there and just said we felt helpless. And all we could do was pray and say, this is not what we signed on for, right? It's a game of competitive violence. We understand that. But generally when tackles happen and a skirmish happens, guys get up and they move on about their way. This last night was something that was hard to watch.
Now, it's tough to kind of talk about anything else as far as schedules, how you reschedule, how you make up the games, and how it affects the other teams. But, you know, from your your view, being a coach, how do you handle – because this is a day where you come in, you get your treatment.
Yeah.
Some of these guys may need mental help, You know, and some of these guys may need to be set down, and some of these guys may be very distraught. And football is the farthest thing from their mind, but it's what we do, and it's our occupation. You know, we've lost players, right? Sean Taylor passed on an away game, and you know, players had to play the next week. You know, players, you know, lose members of your staff, people that's inside the building. You know, how do you, as a coach, pull these guys together, and what do you do, or what could be done today to help them process and help them heal, but still, you know, worry about, you know, football and getting healthy and doing treatment, because you still have to get treatment if you're hurt, you're beat up. You don't know when they say you got to play this game again.
No, you're right. You have bring some great points up, and I think it's something that you tread lightly. You know this. Players are looking for information. When you talk to the players today, you're giving them as much as information as you can. You're being honest with them. And then as far as where you go from here, that's the hard part. I will say this, and I'm not trying to compare these two incidents because they're not comparable, but I was the head coach when 9/11 hit. And I can remember on that Wednesday, the players came in, and we were scheduled to play that week. And I visited with the players and told them, look, we're going to try to go out here and practice. You know, we're all just sitting there. And then we go out on the field. Within 5 minutes, I called them up and said, guys, you go home. Go home. Go home. Hug your children, man. Call your relatives. Just tell them you love them. And we'll figure this thing out. We left the building. Players left the building. So, you know, both of these coaches did a marvelous job last night, I thought, of getting together and getting their teams together. And then both coaches, you could tell they were talking about something. And I think they're in good hands with these two men as head coaches. They're men, they're fathers, they're husbands. And, you know, these players, you know, they're part of your family now.
Yeah.
You know, they just are. I mean, you get that part, and you've been involved in it. Yeah, Bart, you know this. It's kind of ironic because before you go out and play in a game, I've always been involved in a prayer, right, before the game. And whether you're religious or not, you just get into circles and you grab each other's hands. And generally somewhere in the prayer, there's something mentioned about protect.
Mm-hmm.
Protect the players, right? That's part of the deal when you go out. And when you come back, you get into prayer again. And I know when I walk on a practice field or in a game, I always just say in my mind, and I would close my eyes, just please protect the players. Protect them from injury. You just say that. That's your DNA, man. That I grew up with this game. And that's something that you always say. But last night it was like, this is different. I haven't seen this.
Never.
I don't want to see this anymore, right? I mean, that's kind of the way you leave it, you know, and you're just hoping that these guys can regroup. As you said, mental health is a big part of it now. What do you do with your players?
It's incredible perspective. Herm Edwards joining us right now on the show. It's Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. And Herm, again, as obviously all of our thoughts are still with this, and we'll follow this story and, you know, the latest, anything new that comes out of it, and then hopefully hearing that, you know, he is responding, that he is okay. We're talking about DeMar Hamlin, of course, in Cincinnati right now in the hospital. We will get it to everybody. But Herm, while we have you, though, there's obviously other things, football, to talk about with you. And there was something Bart and I were discussing a little while ago, and I'm curious what you think of this. You yourself as a head coach. Robert Saleh has said that Zach Wilson has struggled his second season with the Jets.
Yes.
And he feels like if there's any organization that should learn from giving up on people too soon, it's this one. Do you feel like the Jets would make a mistake if they are like, you know what, we've seen enough, we're moving on?
Yeah, I don't think you move on. I think you've got too much invested in the player. And obviously, you know, it's been a tough road these last 5 weeks. And you're sitting there trying to figure this thing out. You know, we don't know who the quarterback is. We like our other pieces of this team. Now, what do we do going forward? Did you bring someone in? For sure. I think they bring somebody in. And then you start the competition over again, right? And you go from there. I mean, it's a sore way to to look at the season because of the start you had and just didn't finish, right? And look, the quarterback always gets blamed. He just does. And that's just part of the deal. But there's a lot of growing up there. The one thing I can say about this football team, they stuck together. They really did. They've changed quarterbacks numerous times, but they stuck together. You're hoping young man Wilson has learned something from this going forward, because that's going to be the key now. Has he learned from this? And I just think, you know, I agree. It's too fast to just say, hey, we're going to make a change. And, you know, and you can make him. I always say this. Don't make emotional decisions. Whatever you do, don't make emotion. I tell players like that.
It's
you
New York,
play
coach.
With passion, don't play with emotion. But I tell players this. There's a difference between being an emotional player and a passionate player. When you make emotional decisions, you're generally wrong. Passion is one thing. Don't get into the emotional part, because you don't think. You don't process. And so, you're right, Bart. It's New York. I get it, man. I was on that stage. I get it.
Yep.
But I think someone has to be a voice of reason. And I've always considered myself that kind of guy. No matter how bad it got, I was going to be the voice of reason now, because someone has to be that.
So, Coach, I guess I would ask, my next question would be this is, what level of competition do you go? Because it's levels that to this, you can get a level of quarterback that creates such a shadow that Zach Wilson's going to have to grow up and embrace a real competition. I'm not talking about the Joe Flacco's or bringing in Tyrod Taylor.
No.
I'm talking about real competition, like a David Carr or somebody that's on an expiring contract, and you make a deal for a real guy, a starting guy.
Yep. No, I agree. You're trying to bring your quarterback in there to help you win now.
Yeah.
There ain't no doubt about that. And make everybody – look, you know, and you know this, there's a standard. What's the standard? It wasn't good enough at that position. We're going to set a new standard. We're going to bring a guy in here.
It better not be Baker Mayfield. I'm going to walk out of the studio. if it's Baker Mayfield, if it's Jameis Winston, I am walking home.
It's but you know what?
That's half trying.
Hey, Bart, but you know the funny thing about this is it's going to be probably two or three guys, right? And those guys are like smiling right now, those quarterbacks, because they're going, hey, you know, no, they didn't want me at this other team, but there's probably 10 other teams that want me really bad right now.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yeah,
everybody amazing. Looking at Daniel Jones right. Like the Giants better do it right.
You go like this. It's like, I'm not that good, but I'm not that bad. That's all you have to think
it's
about.
It's interesting.
So you think about Jared Goff. You think about Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield. Jameis Winston.
There's a lot of quarterbacks going to be available.
You're talking about Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Garoppolo, yep. So those four guys is going to push the price up.
Now, Herm.
Well, let me ask you this. Oh. Is the guy down in Tampa, Captain America, going to do something? He's staying there? What are he going to do?
I don't know if Captain America is man enough for New York.
You don't think TB12 can handle?
No, I'm just saying that so I can say, I'll prove you wrong,
Bart. You just want him to come up this way. The whole world would shake if that man was wearing a Jets uniform. Although we saw Brett Favre once, so anything could happen. Hey, Herman, meanwhile, Bart mentioned Daniel Jones. He mentioned the Giants side of this thing. From a coaching perspective, I personally feel like Brian Daboll should be coach of the year. Like what he's done, what they have there is, I think, you know, you've had other good coaching jobs. No doubt. Sirianni's done a great job. Yeah. O'Connell, like you've had good coaching jobs. But I just feel like what he's done the most with the least and should be rewarded with it. Do you agree with that?
Well, he's done a great job. I would say this: Mike Tomlin's done a great job as well with a young football team.
You got to get in the playoffs, You know? If he's in the playoffs,
you're right. If that's big, and he got a team in the playoffs no one anticipated. Got a quarterback, and it's kind of crazy because that situation was interesting too with their quarterback. He's playing he's playing for his contract, and now all of a sudden, he's kind of played his way. Okay, maybe this is our guy. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he's a solid quarterback. I don't know if he's a difference maker. That's just my opinion, watching him. I think he's good.
He might pick it, right? Yeah.
But is he a difference maker? Is he a difference maker? I don't know that. Will he take you to the next level? I don't know
he's
that.
20, he's 26 years old, Coach. He's probably the oldest rookie in football history. I tell you what, man, these COVID kids, these COVID players coming out, man, they got
what.
A long,
they got three kids and a mortgage by the time they get in the league. They've been they're so old.
Yeah. It's but he's, you know, he's mature. He's hard. He's been, one thing we do know, if you can survive playing in New York, you've been hardened. You're hard. You can take criticism, and you know how to handle it, right? And he's been able to do that.
We tried to cut him about five times in this market, Daniel Jones.
Well, Daniel Jones, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Daniel Jones.
He has. He's got the right demeanor. It's a very similar Eli Manning-type demeanor, and I think he's got the right one to endure all that's happening. And now, if Brian Daboll gets him where he needs to be.
And he's a pretty, you know, and he has some ability. He has some run ability.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big, strong guy. He can run a little bit better than people anticipate.
He's like Costco version of Josh Allen.
Exactly.
Right?
Metaverse. Spider-Verse.
That's a whole different guy, though.
Hey, Coach, last question for me. Just one word answer. If you had to bring one former Jet back to play quarterback next year, Geno or Sam Darnold?
It has to be those two guys?
Because we're talking about not giving up. We gave up on people too soon. Mm. It's looking like maybe it could be Sam and maybe it could be Geno that we gave up too soon.
Who would you trust if you had only those two to choose from for next season? Who would you trust more?
They're available.
Geno or Sam Darnold. They had those two guys, huh?
That's it.
I'd go with Geno.
I agree.
I go,
I feel like he's at that place where his body can still do it and his mind now gets it.
But he's 32. Sam's 25 or 24 years old.
Yeah, but I'm just
you didn't say all that now. you keep moving them. Now you worry about age. You just said you can bring one back. That's okay. You know, there's an age limit. What is this?
Hey, Herm, we're going to leave it right there, but it's always great to catch up with you.
Get some rest.
Yeah, we appreciate the work you put in overnight. All the best.
And tell me what face cream you're using because you look too damn young.
Thank you, brother.
Herm Edwards, he certainly has got the perspective of a guy who has played a very long time and that he's coached a very long time as well. He knows about it in New York, certainly. I thought, you know, him, he wasn't making a parallel, but he was giving the emotional, how you handle a team emotionally. 9/11, he was coaching the Jets, and he just looked and saw his team was not ready.
Yeah, what do you
do? Get off the field.
Because
Let's go.
Because at some point, today or tomorrow, you have to make a decision. You got to practice. You got to do something because you don't know what the NFL is going to tell you to do. The NFL could say,
be ready.
Hey, play Thursday.
Well, you got coaches that got to watch film, and they don't know who they're playing. Are they still going to play this game? Maybe on Tuesday? Are they going to play Sunday?
And also, he was a pivotal role in their team. He was their second leading tackler. Mm-hmm. So now you got to make an adjustment about what do we do next when we have to play.
Mar Hamlin. Right. So we'll continue again to update you on anything new that comes with that situation.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You know what other song gets stuck in my head?
Don't do it.
Can I get to the yams? Sweet heat yams. Charlie Wilson version, though. Can I get to the yams? Yeah. See, I got, what I do. I just got that out your head. I just got it out your head.
You did. The yams song is so much better.
If you're going to get something stuck in your head, get the yams stuck in your head.
The yams song. I'd rather have that song stuck in my head. Because that's a better song than this one.
Everybody like the yams.
Yeah.
Not everybody like kids.
Is yams like an sometimes if you like yams, you end up like having to like kids too, though. I'm just saying.
Which is oxymoron. Because you yell at lambs, you hate the kids.
Is yams an innuendo?
First of all, Alan, that's a college word. I got an associate's degree. You gotta explain that. Break that down for the people like me that's driving in the car.
Nah.
They're like in the window. In the window.
Innuendo.
See, you rolled the R and all that. In the window.
Innuendo.
What'd that mean?
It's like it's suggesting something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's that.
You know, it's like I'm saying this, but I'm actually trying to say that. But I'm saying it in a way that you like, it sounds nice.
So let me talk to the people in the hood then.
All right, good.
It's like when he say, do you like that white girl, Christina Aguilera? We're not talking about Christina. We talking about that white girl. You know what I'm saying? The snowman. You feel me? We ain't talking about snow. We talking about snow.
I feel you, son.
That's an innuendo.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Innuendo?
Yeah, and out the other.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to throw the snow out the window because the cops come get you.
So how about this Yankee? This is interesting Yankee news. The Yankees have made a front office hire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian Sabian. There's no salary cap there, is it?
Brian Sabian, who won three championships as the GM of the Giants, San Francisco Giants.
Is he responsible for the Kung Fu Panda?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then I think he got street cred with me. He brought in the panda.
So he has a role. First of all, he was like it was just a role with the Giants at this point, but they made him just gave him an office and told him, just sit there, old man.
Just give him a check.
And he was losing his mind. There were rumors he was actually going to join the Mets front office, but instead the Yankees have brought him in. His title is executive advisor to senior vice president and general manager Brian Cashman.
That's how you know it's BS. That's taking care of your peoples. I remember when Brian Billick brought in Jim Fossil in and made him a special advisor. I never saw the dude in the building, but he was getting a check. Can somebody make me a special advisor or something? And did he tell the
Bart Scott special advisor to Barton Hunt?
Okay, yeah, executive.
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 All right.
Senior.
Senior executive special advisor.
Yeah, I need all that word salad.
You can be a special advisor to Ryan Hurley.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's like Ryan.
You got too many grays right here. You need to put that in.
Hurley still has the goatee going.
The moose is a little strong. Mm. Like the moose is a little strong.
Right, soften up the moose. Yeah, little, make it so crispy.
Yeah.
This ain't 2003.
Yeah, like it's fried. But I tell you what, I wonder if he specially advised.
Where do you do your hair, in an air fryer?
I wonder if he a new way. I wonder if he executive. Advise the Giants not to go up the offer right. For Aaron Judge.
He knew he was getting this job.
Yeah. He was like,
when they were kicking around, like, what do you think? Should we ante up? I would back off.
He's like, yo, I think he's taking more than creatine.
Well, anyways, he's taking more than creatine.
Can this help?
But seriously,
can this help?
Now remember, he was with the Yankees, so it's. Interesting. That,
so he was a Manchurian candidate.
No. He won championships with the Giants.
Okay.
He did quite
so he's
well.
Coming back home.
Okay. Yeah, but it's not like he was with the Yankees when Brian Cashman was running things.
Okay.
He was with the Yankees pre-championships in the 90s.
So tell me this. So if he was pre-Cashman, that's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want somebody in the building like that. I mean, because Cashman, I know he just redid his deal, but
that's what I'm saying.
I don't want anybody in the building like that. That's like checks and balances for me. That's like oversight. That's like somebody
looking
at what I'm doing.
It's gonna be interesting. So try
to pay attention and going up there and talking to the owner, saying, "Hey, I would have did this," or "Hey, I don't know if I would do that."
K Show, 3 o'clock, right after us. Must listen. Mm. Right, we get Sol on the K Show, by the way, at 5:15. So you get to hear that part of the story.
This is going
to
be a tough Tuesday, man.
But then also this Brian Sabian stuff. I'm curious to see
sounds like checks and balances
reading
to me, if that's the case.
Is that Hal Steinbrenner and Randy Levine just kind of saying like,
put the band together,
this guy's been here for a long time. He's been running stuff. We leave you in charge, but we're going to get somebody to help you that's actually won some stuff more recently than you have.
Could you missed out on Castillo the other
it's too many syllables.
Castillo?
Castillo? Yeah, Castillo. I'll go with Castillo if you'd like. We'll do that.
Okay.
All right. 800-919-3776 is the number. So we've discussed a lot of things today. I mean, you didn't say anything to me about last week and what I was doing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hold on. Hold on. Let me let it be.
It was not pre-produced. I know it wasn't that big of a deal.
No, because I listen.
No, it wasn't that big of a deal. I know. Wasn't that big of a deal.
But this is what I didn't understand. You know what I'm saying?
What?
You Han. Mm-hmm. Zaddy to the stars.
All right.
And so I was expecting when you went down there, I was expecting a little spice. You know what I'm saying? I was expecting like some light blues, you know what I mean? Some teals, some tans, because it was warm down there, right?
It was beautiful.
Well, so I was expecting.
Well, no, it poured in when we got to Houston. But that's a different story.
You hit us with a lot of Wolf of Wall Street type colors. You know what I'm saying?
I gave you a little Christmas in Dallas. I had the nice Christmas tie when, yeah, like, you know, no, just no, I'm kept talking, it I'm simple. Talking
about the, I've seen the
Puma
fabrics
Clydes on the feet.
I've seen the fabrics that you've had.
Well, did you see New Year's Eve?
I missed New Year's Eve.
Bow tie.
Yeah, but you all dark. I thought you were going to come with some, you know what I'm saying, some Miami Vice type stuff. You're trying to be like Clyde. No, first of all, I love Clyde. Full disclosure, he went to Southern Illinois.
You guys are Salukis.
He's Saluki.
Yeah.
This dude is wearing Drake patterns on the sideline. You don't have access to look like Clyde.
No, I don't.
I love his pattern. Like, his patterns is only for him. I can't pull that off.
All right, so besides the few minutes I was on camera.
You look like a natural, though.
2 hours of me talking with the greatest of all time.
Breen, right?
Yes. Mike Breen is a Hall of Famer. And to work with Mike Breen,
yeah,
it's an incredible. And I'm sucking up to him and all that stuff. He's not listening. It was an incredible experience.
Yeah.
Just working, especially the end. I know the Knicks lost that game, but that last 2 minutes of the Dallas game, his ability to have energy,
yeah,
and to describe what's happening and all that intensity that he puts into
quickly
it.
Quickly without feeling like he's in a rush.
Exactly. I was really caught up in it. Like, man, this is great. And so that, you know, you learn so much from it. Yeah. But it was it was an incredible thing to do. And for somebody like me, I mean, I grew up where, like, I pretended to call games.
Yeah.
Right? I would watch Knick games as a kid and I would pretend. It was like one of those, I can't even say a dream come true, because I would never dream to have this opportunity.
Right.
So it was great. It was a whole, it was three games.
I hope you get more opportunities.
I
really enjoyed you there.
I can confirm there will be more in the future.
Okay.
At some point. I won't say when, but I have been given the indication that there will be more games for me to do, which is awesome.
You know what that means?
What it means?
I mean, they like you.
I guess.
They really like me.
Yeah, man. But I tell you what, man. How many
means I didn't screw up.
How many records are the Knicks in? I mean, Luka puts up 60-20, the Knicks.
Which hurt more?
Oh, like, come
watching Luka go 60-point triple-double, win the game, like tie the game at the buzzer and then win it in overtime, did that hurt more? Or did 71 points by Donovan Mitchell last night make you watch going, that could have been us?
You look at Brunson like, yeah, you all right.
No, Brunson would still be here.
He still
would
have been there?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that would have been a backcourt.
They had already signed Brunson when they were going to trade for Donovan.
Yeah, then that really hurts.
Think about it. Because Julius Randle's playing out of his mind right now.
Out of his mind, good enough to trade?
Oh, he's your best player. Right?
Well, no,
he's your, trading him for?
Listen, he's your best player. But
who are you trading him for?
He's playing the best I've seen him
since he was an all-star.
You need to clear that money up so that you can get a real superstar and you can get max money.
Why are you starting trouble?
Am I lying, though? Like,
starting trouble is what you do.
If you know that, if you kind of already know, like, listen, he's good, but we can't really win big time with him.
Why not? You can, like – I think if you add Don, if you put,
it, this, how about same, this? This the same discussion. This the
if
same
you
discussion.
You had Donovan Mitchell on this team with Brunson and Randle, you'd be a top four team in the East.
But you're not gonna get that. You're gonna get one, and he's taking one of that money. You're gonna have to give extra money, max deal.
This is not like the NFL. You can go over the cap.
I understand that.
You can do this.
I understand. We got an owner that can do it. I understand that. But Julius
willing
Randle,
to do it.
But Julius Randle, like, can only be your third star. I think he can. I don't know if he's good enough to be your number two. Now, he's a great player. He's fundamental, but he gives you that same conversation that we're having about the potential quarterbacks for the Jets.
Yeah.
It's like, man, he's good, but Ah, you need a star.
Why are you depressing me? There are 20 wins before the midway.
You want me to make you want me you want
two
me to make
games
you,
over
500. You want me to make you feel better?
They've won 10 of the last 15 games.
You want me to make you feel
and
better?
You're making me
you
feel
me,
like crap.
You want me to make you feel
and
better?
And the Nets have won 12 in a row. Ain't nobody talking about it.
Do you want me to make you feel better? Don't be trying to jump my take. Brooklyn.
I just fell asleep.
You can fall asleep, wake up during the playoffs because they'll be there.
Okay. Knicks might be there too, man. Listen, like we might get both teams in the playoffs.
The Nets are one player away, in my opinion.
What player is
I like Miles Turner.
I don't know if I'm like.
Big man.
Not feeling him there.
But hold on. How many skilled big men are they out there?
Well, anybody that's good is locked up.
Right, so it's no skilled big man that can take Embiid away from the basket that got enough body. Now, he's not a great defender.
Big enough body that can handle Embiid, first of all, you can't guard him.
Yeah, but how do you guard Embiid? You make him work on the defensive end. And you don't make him work on the defensive end by trying to take him to the post. You bring him out to the three-point line, and you put him in, and you get him in trouble. You hit a couple threes, he's going to close up the space. Mm. You try and get him in foul trouble, and you have to have somebody that can pull him from underneath the basket. Miles Turner can pull him away from the basket, open up all the dribble lanes. Just imagine, Kyrie is a guy who can break down anybody. And then you got shooters. Joe Harris looks a little better. You got
hasn't played in a while.
Yeah, you got Patty Mills out there, and you got Curry out there. So if you got somebody that can pull Embiid away, opens up the driving lanes, and now you got an opportunity to get some action going.
Well,
you need it.
We're in the trade season.
And Brooke Lopez, big as hell, man. Brooke Lopez is pulling people out to the three-point line, and it opens up everything up for Giannis.
You know what? It's funny. Coincidentally, Brooke Lopez was probably be a great fit for the current Nets team.
Yeah, they got rid of him.
And all those years ago when he was a Net.
And his brother is nowhere near the player
is.
He's not even close.
No, it's a different player.
So that's what I'm saying.
But I don't know what like
they clearly need a big body.
I just don't know who it's going to be.
I mean, because Nick Claxton is nice, but when you go against some big bodies, he gets thrown around.
He's too small. Yeah, they need more size. It certainly is.
You had a suggestion for one, and you had a 6 degrees of separation, but I don't know if I like that as much if they're trying to go for it. You know, you say the Spurs, they played the Spurs last night.
It's Jakob with the Spurs. Jakob Poeltl.
You know who they really
could be a good fit.
Anybody who needs a big man. There's only one big man out there that they should be trying to make a trade for. The present Weiwei.
Bobo.
Everybody out there who ever hated on me for my infatuation with Bobo, I want them to call up to this line. I want an apology. I was, listen, I almost cried when you told me that he failed his physical with the Pistons.
I can't believe the Pistons.
Imagine him with the Pistons now.
What are your Pistons thinking?
I need to be in
the evaluation. They had him in house and sent him back. Said, no thank you. He's injured.
But also, look at Denver. What if they would have had Bobo and they would have turned him loose? You can't count on Porter and his broke back.
Mm.
He could play power forward.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You and I did national show for a couple of years. Nationally, you could talk Nets. Locally, crickets. It's a reality.
That's true, man. But listen, at the end of the day, if you get the chip, are you saying if they get the chip, they're going to be like the Rams? They get the chip and nobody still cares?
I mean, people will care. Some people will care.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I don't know. By now, if they haven't moved people, will they ever?
I don't think
it's fair to ask that question.
I don't think people are taking it seriously yet because they've seen it. They know they're capable.
You're waiting for something to go wrong again, to happen.
You know, both Kyrie and KD got their annual haircuts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know. I think Kyrie cut his hair off. You know, in our community, a lot of times when you cut you got
what
long
our
hair.
Our community. What do you mean?
The black community.
Oh.
Like when you see guys cut off their dreads or they have long hair and they cut it, it's because they want a fresh start, a new beginning. And maybe that's the message behind Kyrie cutting his hair down and letting go to the baby Morgan Freeman. You know what I'm saying? I think maybe that. What, man?
That's funny.
You ain't got a little microphone?
You know it did look like a microphone for a while there.
Looking like Ice Cube in Higher Learning.
You know what I'm saying? 800-919-3776.
Cut it down.
Colm is in the Bronx. Colm, what's up, man?
Oh, what's going on, Hollywood Han Bartholomew? Welcome back to New York. Really quick, before I get to a couple of Knicks points I had, you did a phenomenal job, I think, Han, on your color analyst for the Knicks in that three-game span. I was going to get on you. Thank God they won that Houston game. because I was going to say you were bad luck. But
listen, even Tibbs was saying it to me. He's like, he like, because you know you're part of the travel party.
Yeah.
He's like, we didn't get that one. You were getting home on your own.
Yeah.
And that was New Year's Eve.
That's what I mean. But it's obviously extremely difficult to, you know, step in for, in my opinion, the greatest color analyst in the history of the NBA in Walt Clyde Frazier. Mm-hmm. But you did a great job. And a couple of points with the Knicks. Like you said, Randall is playing out of his mind, and I love quieting all the haters. There's a lot of Randall haters out there, and I've always liked him. I believed he was gonna make a comeback from what he did last year, and he seems like he's playing better than he did that All-Star year, you know, in this stretch. And I think he's gonna be an All-Star again. But the Knicks right now, they're really good. They had that big stretch of 8-game winning streak. They started to be a little slow. They got a couple of injuries here. They're doing everything that they need to do with playing all the young players. You see McBride. You see Grimes getting in there. And when Toppin gets back, he's going to play. They're doing everything right. And I don't think there's anything to really complain about as a Knicks fan and as a team.
Are you sure? You don't have to look far. You'll find somebody with something to complain about.
Oh, no, absolutely. There's going to be complaints going around. There's always going to be something to complain about. But in the sense of people are going to complain like, oh, they need a star, they needed this. It's not feasible. It's been 20 years. They're not going to get a top free agent just waltzing in for free. They're not going to make a trade where they trade all their young assets and it's going to make them a contender. That's going to be the Carmelo Anthony deal all over again.
Yeah, there's nothing out there.
What they need to do is what they're doing now is develop, be a very good team, very, very talented in their own right.
Colin, what they are is they're
maybe
they're
shake loose. Yeah, but a free agent or something like that.
How do you get better?
Where they are, and Colin, thanks for the call, and I appreciate also the accolades. Thank you. This is who they are. This is kind of what I think you expected them to be, is a little over 500, competitive. You know, you beat teams you should beat, right? In the losing streak, they were competitive. I mean, the Dallas loss was painful. That was a close game. The Bulls loss went down to the wire. These were close games. Christmas Day was a very entertaining game, and then Embiid they had better players than you. Harden, Embiid beat you. You were beaten because the other team just had the better players. That's the frustrating reality of what the Knicks are. They're no longer a joke, terrible, awful, whatever. They're not that anymore. But now they're kind of just
mediocre.
In the middle.
You find yourself at like a C+.
Yeah, they're about that.
And that gets you nowhere, right? And
well, it gets you. Look, it's still better than being in the basement, although the basement this year can get you Wembanyama.
Exactly.
But this is where they are. So, now, you want to be competitive, and you want to look like a functioning franchise that is. For the next time somebody's like, get me out of here. And then you're set up to get whoever that's going to be. And it was supposed to be Donovan Mitchell, and they decided not to do it. Some decided not to do it. That wasn't unanimous, but the right people said no.
See, but how long do you expect the fans to wait around for this team to just be relevant?
Well, you've been waiting for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, at what point? I mean, you look at Toronto. Toronto's in, what, 12th place? Siakam?
Again, if you're doing something, it has to be significant.
You said shoot for the stars and land on the moon.
No. You said that.
Who's the star for the Knicks to look for?
I don't know.
And that's the problem.
Who is somebody that is getting to a point of and when you said, don't tell me Zach LaVine, I don't think that's a guy either.
He was with Tibbs.
I know, but I don't look at Zach LaVine like, all right, now you're a championship team. I don't, because I worry about the knee and everything else. I think this is where you don't try too hard, because you know eventually something's going to come out. It always does. There's always somebody that says, you know what, we're not going anywhere. It's time for me to go somewhere else. Like, you know, it could be Devin Booker at one point. It could be Luka at some point. You don't know.
That's 2-3 years on a row.
Of course it is, but
it was Donovan Mitchell and you failed.
Yes, and you decided to not do it. I mean, that's it. That was the guy, and some in your organization that have influence said, no, we're not paying that. And now you watch him score 71 points for an Eastern Conference team, which is better than you, and you have to be okay with it. Because you chose not to do it, and you live with it. But there's still going to be someone else at some point. I don't know who, but it's going to be somebody.
It's going to be like Draymond Green. Or
I ain't going to be Draymond Green.
Or Klay Thompson. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Like, you said shoot for the stars, man. You shooting for the ceiling. And the ceiling is the roof, according to Michael Jordan.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.